Thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you that as your word goes out, that your word does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That the name of Jesus is lifted up and exalted and glorified in our midst this morning. And Father, we give you alone all the praise and the honor and the glory for what you do in us and through us this morning. And we do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. I believe this morning I have something that is very important for us. We were just saying, even in our prayer meeting this morning, you know, most of what we share from the front, we've heard it. If we are believers, we've heard it maybe once or twice or maybe many times. But today I'm going to be sharing out of 1 John. And for the last 3 weeks, I've been sharing out of the book of James. And let's face it, James, we said he shoots from the hip. James doesn't hold back his punches. When we study the book of James and we start to apply the book of James, well, the reason why we embrace the book of James, because there will be changes that take place in our lives if we truly do embrace what we've learned over the last few weeks in the book of James. But folks, this morning, as I say, I'm going to be looking at a portion of Scripture out of 1 John. And this is a portion of Scripture that I know the evil one will not be happy with me sharing. Okay? He's not going to be happy about this. And he obviously, already he's trying to throw curveballs and make sure that we don't hear this type of message. But I've titled this morning's message, "There is a real and a counterfeit Christianity." There is a real Christianity and there is a counterfeit Christianity. And there is this counterfeit Christianity that is out there. And folks, it's up to you and I to make sure that we as Christians are able to identify this counterfeit Christianity. Because it is out there, and it is out there big time. You know, you can turn on your television set at any time and you'll find somebody preaching about spirituality, people talking about these things. You know, it's normally, you know, how you can have a better life. Right? Where it becomes more about us than about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Also, you can go onto the internet and there's just hundreds, maybe thousands upon thousands of websites that will give you spiritual answers on how to be a better you. All right. Go into bookshops. Exactly the same thing. You know, how you can operate with spiritual gifts and how you can have spiritual power to create a better you. We see this. And a lot of it is not wrong, but a lot of it is very subtle, and we need to be mindful of all of this. So very often you'll find that even these writers, they will use the Bible, they will use the Bible verses, and they will even use the name of Jesus to justify and to kind of support the claims that they're making in this book. And some of them will even say that they're Christians, right? Quote verses and say it's Christian. This, when we look at these things, there's a form of godliness when you read them. There's a hint of godliness. But let me say that these teachings are not from the Word of God. And you and I need to make sure that we are able to discern very, very carefully what is from God and what isn't from God. And so often we just think, you know, because the Bible is mentioned or verses kind of included or the name of Jesus is mentioned somewhere, that this must be okay, you know, because they're quoting a verse of Scripture and they're using the name of Jesus. Therefore, it's okay. It's also interesting to note that we are not the first generation of Christians that have this problem or where there is a problem. And you can go right back to the early church. Right back when the apostles would go into different areas, you know, set up groups of people gathering together where Scripture is kind of shared and whatever it is. Right back, you had false teachers rising up out of those groups or coming in from other groups and interacting with those people, coming along with their false claims of Christianity. Right back 2,000 years ago. This has been going on for a long time. Long time. right back there, false teachings, claiming that it was a Christian teaching. And I just want to say to us today, we need to be able to discern what is from God and what is not from God. So, if you open your Bibles, I said I'm going to be looking at a portion of Scripture out of 1 John, chapter 2. And I'll be starting on at verse 18. And basically, it was a problem right back then, and John wrote this to help people to be able to discern the truth from error. That's why he wrote this portion of Scripture. So he is, in this portion here, he's given us some pointers so that we could recognize what the truth is and also what counterfeit is as well. So let's just have a look at it. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. We need to at least get our heads around this. Chapter 2, verse 18, he says, "Children, in the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour." So we know that we are living in the end times because of the Antichrists that are starting to manifest all over the place. Verse 19, he says, listen to this, what he says. He says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us." So basically what John is saying right here, that these people, they were in the fellowship. They were in the fellowship. They were where the believers were gathering. They were there in their midst, right there. But listen what he says now. "But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us." Not believers. "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge," he says. He says, "I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth." Then he asks a question in verse 22. He says, "Who is the liar? Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ." This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. So let me ask the question, what does he say? Who is the Antichrist? He says it right there. He who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 23 says, "No one who denies the Son has the Father." Now isn't that what Christianity is all about? The Bible says time and time again that the only way to the Father is through the Son. And he says, "No one who denies the Son has the Father." You cannot have the Father without the Son. "And whoever confesses the Son has the Father." So basically, if you want the Father, you need to receive the Son. That's what John's saying, right? "Let what you learned from the beginning abide in you." And this, what you learned in the beginning, when he was speaking to them, it was accurate, Holy Spirit-inspired teachings. In other words, it was the Word of God. "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us." In other words, if you have received the Son and therefore received the Father, this is the promise. He says, eternal life. Eternal life. This is how we receive eternal life. There's no way of receiving eternal life that you and I will be living in the presence of Almighty God without receiving the Son. This is what John is saying. Okay, now it's interesting because now he tells us the reason why he is writing this portion of Scripture. He says, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." Now folks, there's a big difference between somebody trying to deceive you and somebody just messing up and not knowing what they're talking about. This is deliberate. There are people out there that are trying, they're doing whatever they can to deceive you and to deceive me. "But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you," so this is Christ in you, this is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, right? It says, "But as his anointing teaches you," We know that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Am I right? The Bible teaches us that. But as His anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is not a lie, just as He has taught you, abide in Him. So there's a whole lot that John is saying there. And I just want to unpack a little bit of this the best I can this morning. Firstly, John says that this is the last hour. This is the last hour. And the question is, well, what does that mean? You know, that this is the last hour. Now, it's quite interesting. If you go and you read the New Testament, right throughout the New Testament, you will see phrases like the last hour. You'll see phrases like the last days, like the end times. Am I right? We see this time and time again. So this is basically the time between the first coming and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That is exactly what it is. So John, when he wrote this, whenever he wrote this, okay, it was in the last days and it was in the last hour, and you and I are still in the last days and we are still in the last hour. The only thing is that we are a lot closer to the end times than John was, right? So when we talk about these, the last hour and so on, it's that time between the first coming and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, as we get closer to the appearance of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when Jesus comes again, right? As we get closer, with each day, Scripture teaches that there will be more, and there will be more and more and more of those that are out there trying to lead Christians astray with an agenda, not just by accident. It's quite interesting because Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul, we know Paul's story, but Paul was the one that wrote probably two-thirds of the New Testament. Now, this is what Paul said when he was writing to young Timothy. He said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, he says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith." That's people that are in the faith that are now departing from the faith. How is that? How is that possible? He says, by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. This is serious stuff, folks. Remembering that, you know, when we come against, it's not the person that we have a problem with. It is the spirit behind the person. So he says, now the Spirit especially says, okay, it says, some will depart from the faith, devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons. So we can see that these demons are very, very active. And they're using people. Why are they using people? To take people's eyes off the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is why they're doing this. Then he says this. He says, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. So this is who the devil is using. These insincere people, their consciences have been seared. Now, okay. What is a conscience? What is our conscience? Do you know that every man and woman has a conscience? You don't have to be born again to have a conscience. Am I right? Right? Unbelievers, we have a conscience. Our conscience is, it's like the voice of our own spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm saying. Unbelievers have a conscience. But when an unbeliever, let's use an example of an unbeliever. When an unbeliever goes out there and continually does something against what their conscience is telling them to do. The conscience is telling them, don't do this. But they deliberately go out. Eventually, one's conscience will become seared. Seared, like cut off. And that's what he says. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. So one's conscience is seared, and once you have a seared conscience, you can't tell the difference between right and wrong anymore. And this is what these demons are actually, these are the people that they're actually using. Folks, this is serious stuff. Because Jesus also spoke about this, right? What's going to be happening as we get closer and closer to the end. Jesus said in Mark 13 verse 22. He says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "For false Christs, right? Messiahs. For false Christs and false prophets will arise." He didn't say, you know, maybe some of these guys are going to arise. Jesus says they will arise. And then what he says in the next few words just about blows you away, because he goes on to say, talking about these false Christs and these false prophets, and he says, "And they will perform signs and wonders." Folks, this is not the Holy Spirit being involved performing signs and wonders. This is demonic activity where people who are calling themselves, you know, these false Christs and these false prophets, being led by demons. If it's not the Holy Spirit, I can tell, and this is not the Holy Spirit Jesus is speaking about, they will perform signs and wonders. And what's even more scary as you read on, and Jesus says that they will perform these signs and wonders, these miracles, to lead astray, if possible, the elect. That's believers. That even believers will look at these signs and wonders and say, "Gee, you know, this, I'm going to follow after this thing." Then Jesus says to us, he says, "Be on your guard. I've told you all these things beforehand." So Jesus there has warned us. And he said we must be on our guard. And if Jesus is saying to us, that we should be on our guard, especially in the times we are living in right now, let's make sure that we are on our guard. So wherever you turn today, there will be more teaching and more teaching and more teaching that seems to be like the good news. Okay? I want to say it's not the good news. And we need to be able to discern whether it is the good news or not the good news. This is not the good news, but this is some counterfeit that they're talking about here. This is false teachers, right, manipulating the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to their own ends. So the question should be, so how do we tell? I'm so pleased you asked that question. Okay. Listen, I'm just sharing out of 1 John here this morning. There's other things, so I'm not even going to go and get, you know, kind of back up from other scriptures. So let's just have a look and see what he says here. So how do we know? So John here, in this portion of scripture that I've given us, he gives us several characteristics of those counterfeit Christians who are actually out there deliberately trying to lead others astray. The first thing he tells us that these counterfeit Christians have departed from the fellowship. Interesting. They've departed. He says in verse 18, "Therefore, we know that it is the last hour." He's talking about these false teachers, these antichrists, these people, right? "They went out from us, but they were not of us." In other words, they were not Christians. "For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They would have stayed with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us." So what we see here is that these people were actually part of a believing church or believing group of people, right? They were part of it. But they were never true believers, he says. They were never true believers. Folks, you find that in the church today, right? In the church. I trust that there's no one lurking around in this church like that. But let me tell you, these people are in the church today. Now they've actually left the true believing church to go out there and do their own thing. Again, listen to what Paul says to Timothy. That same scripture says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves." This is not something where you, if you devote yourself, it's not, well, I might embrace it. You are committed. If you devote yourself to something, you are committed to it. And he says, devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons. People, some still sitting in the church and still going to do this. So many of these false teachers were part of a believing church. This is what he says over here. And somewhere along the line, something happened, and they departed from the church's teachings to go out there and to teach their own stuff. Right? Deliberately, then embracing the doctrine of demons. Let me say this, that some of the most famous cults, some of the most, some of these religions that are actually out there, not only the cults, but religions that are out there, were started by people that were part of the church. They sat in church. They were part of the church. They were part of a Christian community. Okay? And then they departed. And the objective was to go out there now and to lead other people astray. How many of you remember David Koresh? Okay. Yeah. David Koresh, he was the leader of the brand of Davidians. And that was out of Waco, Texas. And this guy got such a following, eventually they took him out, all right, because of this cult. But he believed that he was the final prophet. He was the final prophet on planet Earth, David Koresh. What about Jim Jones? Any of you heard of Jim Jones? He was the leader of the People's Temple, which is also a cult. Okay. What about Joseph Smith? I'm sure a lot of you have heard about Joseph Smith, right? He's the founder of the Mormons. Founder of the Mormons. So all of these people had some connection prior to going out there leading people astray. They had some connection with the church before they went out there and they did their terrible deed. Okay. The truth of this is that they were not Christians. They were not Christians. And that was shown, first of all, by them departing from the fellowship. That was the first thing. And he says, also departing from the true Christian teaching. Counterfeit Christians, folks, in the times that we are living in right now. I mean, some of us know the obvious ones. The snake-eating, petrol-drinking, grass-eating, you know. I mean, these are the ones that stand out like a sore thumb. All right? Those aren't the ones. I mean, they're leading thousands of people astray. But those aren't the ones that you really need to worry about. It's the ones that are so much, they're more subtle. So these counterfeit Christians, like I said, have not only departed from the fellowship, they've denied the faith as well. John says in verse 22, he says, "Who's the liar? Who's the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is the liar." This is the Antichrist, John says. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has a Father. And we see that as a theme right throughout Scripture. Right? You can't have the Father if you don't have the Son. So these counterfeits, they preach another gospel. These counterfeit people, they preach another Jesus. And I'm saying to us, we need to be very, very careful in making sure that we're able to discern. These people don't preach a gospel, right, as we know it. And like I said, they preach another Jesus. They don't preach the Jesus of the Bible either. And now Paul, you know, Paul was exposed to some of this as well. And he then, you know, we see him talking to young Timothy. But then Paul also, there was a problem in the church in Corinth. So Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, and he says to them, this is what he says. So this is not a problem now, but it's starting to multiply big time now. Paul says to them, he says, "I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve," and we know who the serpent is. Who was the serpent? Okay, Satan himself, eh? Right. Let me read again. "I'm afraid that the serpent... that as the serpent deceived Eve by his tricks, your thoughts will be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Now Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He's telling them, "I'm very concerned that you guys are going to get led astray." He goes on to say, "For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you are all too willing to listen. He says, you guys are listening to this type of stuff, and you are kind of, you know, entertaining it. Folks, counterfeit, false religions claim something different than that Jesus is the Christ. They claim other things. They will claim, and it depends on the cult or who you're speaking to, they will claim, first of all, that they are the one, they are the Christ, they are the last prophet like this Koresh, right? They are the one that only have a direct link to, you know, God, you know. All of these things. They will start to contradict the basic foundations of Christianity very subtly. Like I said, these guys, that David Koresh, Jim Jones, who remembers the Moonies? The Moonies. His name was Sam Mung Moon, who headed up the Moonies. Go and read about him. So these are the guys, this is what they do. So they talk about a Jesus that is not the Christ. It's not the Jesus that we see in the Bible, and it is not the Word of God, the Gospel of that we read. Right. So the doctrine that Jesus is the Christ is essential to Christianity. It's essential to Christianity. What does Christ mean? I mentioned it earlier on. If you go and have a look at the Hebrew word, the word Christ means Messiah. That Jesus is the Messiah. And to be a Christ carries along with it some essential beliefs that these cults and these false religions and all of these guys will deny. Example, Jesus being God. Many of them will deny that. Jesus as God coming to planet Earth as a man. They will deny that. If you deny this, you deny Christianity. It's as simple as that. And in actual fact, the Old Testament, you can go to the Old Testament, it actually prophesies in Isaiah, it actually prophesies that the Messiah would be God. Let me read one of them, Isaiah 9 verse 6. You've all heard this particular verse. You know how I know? Because somebody would have sent it to you as a Christmas card. Well, in the days they sent Christmas cards. Now they'll send you a WhatsApp. All right. With the scripture. Listen to it. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is what John writes a little bit later in this letter of 1 John, in chapter 4, verse 2. Listen to what he says here. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Well, you might look at that and you might say, well, that, okay, I hear what you're saying, but that only means that Jesus had a, you know, he came to planet Earth as a human. Listen to what John said in the book of John. John 1 verse 1. He said this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Those that deny that Jesus is God, and those that deny that he didn't come to planet Earth as God and so on, folks, these are the false teachers that we need to be mindful of, alert of. The Mormons, right? Huge organization who claim to be Christian, they deny that Jesus is God. Okay? Jehovah's Witnesses. Lovely people, man, they're out there and they are so committed to doing what they believe is right. But the Jehovah's Witnesses will talk about Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses will say how wonderful Jesus is. The Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, you know, that Jesus was an incredible prophet. But the Jehovah Witnesses deny that he's God. Folks, Genesis 1, verse 1, first verse of the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. You go and have a look at that word God. The word is Elohim. And it means gods, plural. Plural. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Right? So they are preaching a different Jesus to what the Bible teaches. Just that one thing. All the other stuff, as I said, can be 99.99999999% accurate. But that one thing where they deny that Jesus is God, I'm telling you, you cannot embrace that. It's as simple as that. They're preaching a different Jesus and they're preaching a different gospel. There's no relationship with God outside of His Son. We receive His Son and then we have a relationship with God. Jesus came to planet Earth in the flesh as God. 100% God and 100% man. Not 50% God and 50% man making up 100%. Right? I've heard that. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's the top half is 50%. Or, you know, is it the bottom half is God or the top? 100% God and 100% man. The final characteristic of a counterfeit Christian that John speaks about. Remember, this, we're only looking at John here this morning. We see in verse 26, he says, I write these things to you. Sorry, what he's saying is that they have deceived the faithful, or they're out to deceive the faithful. He says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, trying to lead you astray, he says. These antichrists don't believe. They've denied the faith. But not only that, they are seeking to lead you, all of us, astray. Anyone that says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who says you don't need to follow Him, anyone who says that there's another way to get to the Father, anyone who says any of these things, you know, that you don't need to have fellowship with the body, these are the counterfeit, folks, that we need to be so mindful of. So this, according to John, is how we recognize counterfeit Christians. And you'll be saying, well, okay, so how do we know if they're not counterfeit? Well, I'm so pleased you asked that question too. You guys are on the ball here this morning. So then the question should be, what are the characteristics of authentic Christians? Again, just looking to, you know, what John has said. The first thing, they acknowledge the Son of God. Verse 23 of chapter 2, he says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So he says here that authentic Christians acknowledge Jesus as the Christ and that He is the Son of God. That's an authentic Christian. Okay? Fully God. 100% God. 100% man right there. Another thing that he says in terms of authentic Christian, they abide in the Word of God. And I can't put enough emphasis on this, how important the Word is. We need to embrace the Word of God because there are so many groups where, you know, that will not encourage us to read the Word of God. So we rely on somebody else's information that they're passing on. If we don't know what the Word of God says, how can we actually stand up and, you know, if somebody is preaching wacky doctrine or good doctrine, we wouldn't know the difference. We need to get into the Word ourselves. So authentic Christians abide in the Word of God. And John says in verse 24, he says, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. Talking about the Word of God. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us. When we do that, eternal life. We abide, receive Jesus, abide in Him, abide in the, have a relationship with the Father. So as we start to embrace the Word of God, as we start to read the Word of God, as we start to abide in the Word of God, we are going to become very, very closely connected to the Lord. Because it is the Holy Spirit who wrote the Word. Am I right? So, and if we are doing that, it's very easy to discern, you know, what is truth and falsehood if we are reading the Word, right? Folks, Satan is real. Do we believe that? How many of us don't believe Satan is real? All right? The Bible says that he is real and that he comes to kill and that he comes to steal and that he comes to destroy. And Satan is real, and the cults and the false religions that he creates is one of his major weapons that he uses to lead people away from Jesus. It's one of the things. That's why they're there. The final characteristic of an authentic Christian, according to John here, is that they are anointed with the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 27, "But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you." We know that it's the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. "But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and it's true, and is not a lie, just as he has taught you, abide in him," he says. So basically, if we are born again by the Spirit of God, we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. You become a new creature, the Bible says. You become a new creation, the Bible says, when God the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you. And another thing that he also does speak about, that we must constantly be testing the spirits. Right? I mean, this sounds very, it can sound a bit wacky what I'm saying over here. But he says this. We must remember it's not the person, it's the spirit behind the person. And he says that we must be testing the spirits. And he says in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist," he says, "which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you," who's in you? Once you get born again, who's in you? It's the Holy Spirit. "He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Verse 5. "They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world." So these false teachers, you know, they're not Christians. So they speak in, and the people that are being drawn to them are also worldly people. He says here, "For they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. But by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Testing the spirit behind the individual. Folks, I want to say Christianity has stood for 2,000 years because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let us be those that just even have a deeper relationship with Him. Draw closer and closer to the Holy Spirit. Because if we do, we will always be able to identify the real from the imitation. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. And Lord, even as your word has gone out this morning, may we be those that not only hear your word, but respond to your word and apply your word in our own lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have shown us these things and you've told us to be aware of the times that we are living in right now. The dangers that surround us. Thank you, Father, that we are those that are doers of your word and not just hearers. And because of that, we are able to move through unscathed by the false teachings that are out there, by those false teachers that are out there, by a gospel that is not your gospel, by Christ that is not the Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to do that. discern.